This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, we are in for Tommy Tucker on this Monday morning. And Jeff Palermo now joins us from Baton Rouge, our WWL.com LSU columnist. Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Man, what a weekend it was. All kinds of twists and turns and excitement, including a whole bunch of LSU players now headed to the NFL. I want to talk about that. And also, before we let you run, talk about another wild weekend for LSU baseball. Will Campbell, short arms and all, ends up going in the top five in the draft. Pick number four to the Patriots. Obviously, they didn't care about that third of an inch that became such a focus on his arm length pre-draft.
Well, I tell you, if there's, you know, a high school prospect in the state of Louisiana that lived up to the hype, it was Will Campbell. I mean, when you think about just everything you were hearing about him when he was at Neville and how dominant he was there as an offensive lineman, he comes to LSU and he starts the very first game. He's a three-year starter at LSU. He wears the number 7 patch, as we all know how significant wearing the number 7 jersey is. He gets that honor 2 years in a row, which is very impressive. And then he's a top 5 overall pick, becoming the first offensive lineman, really the second, and only that this one. Not only is he the first offensive lineman to be drafted out of LSU since 1998, he's only the second one ever. Only the second ever LSU offensive lineman drafted in the first round. Which
That's kind of wild when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, very wild. Very wild when you think about it. Of course, everybody thinks about Andrew Whitworth, but he was actually a second-round pick, and he's another guy that could be heading to the Hall of Fame as well, just like Alan Faneca, who was drafted in the first round by the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 98. But Will Campbell certainly lived up to the hype, and we'll see. We'll see if those shorter-than-normal arms for a tackle will make that big of a difference. He has an opportunity to build something special there in New England with Drake May as their quarterback, and now they got their head coach in place there. So we'll see what happens with Will Campbell and the New England Patriots, and he could be there for the next 10, 12 years because when you draft an offensive tackle that high, that's what you're expecting. That guy to be a mainstay on your offensive line for 10 years or so.
All right. Well, I'm hoping he doesn't start this season because the Saints have to play the Patriots in the Superdome this season. So let's hope they give him a little time to adjust and we'll see what happens. But I'll be rooting for him every game except for that game when the Patriots come to the Superdome. Mason Taylor, tight end from LSU, ends up going to the Jets in round 2.
Well, yeah, this is a good pickup, I think, for the New York Jets. I mean, Mason Taylor was very productive. He leaves LSU as the all-time receptions leader and yardage leader for a tight end at LSU. Obviously, he's got the genes. His dad, Jason Taylor, played all those years for the Miami Dolphins, is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Mason Taylor, now, I guess the only thing, you know, for Mason is that you just, for his hope is that the Jets can get their act together.
Unlikely. It hasn't happened in a long, long time. But
this is a franchise that has it's really been one of the worst in the NFL. And we'll see. We'll see if they can get things turned around. But Mason Taylor, I think, will forever be remembered for the catch that he made in the Alabama game, the 2-point conversion when he was a freshman to beat the Crimson Tide that set off a wild celebration inside Tiger Stadium. So he goes down as one of the greats in LSU history, especially one of the all-time best tight ends in LSU football program history.
You know, I was tempted to feel bad for him because the Jets drafted him, And I'm thinking, oh, poor guy. You know, he's got to go play for the Jets now. But then I was thinking, he's going to make millions and millions of dollars. So I probably shouldn't feel too bad for him. But right. You always want you see your favorite players end up in a position where they can not only be personally successful, but they can be put in a system where they can actually win. We'll talk about the rest of the LSU players drafted and talk about LSU baseball after this check on WWL Traffic. Talking with Jeff Palermo about the LSU players taken in the draft. We already talked about Will Campbell and Mason Taylor taken in rounds 1 and 2. And then in round 3, Emory Jones Jr. goes to the Ravens, Jeff.
Yeah, and I came across a mock draft that was actually released about a year ago looking ahead to the 2025 draft. And it had Emory Jones at that time listed as a first-round pick. So you could say his stock fell a little bit in his final season at LSU, and there was a really big push by LSU to try to see if he can come back for his fourth and final season. But still, he gets selected by one of the best franchises in the NFL. And, in fact, his teammate, Garrett Dellinger, in the 7th round, also drafted by the Ravens. And you had 4 offensive linemen from LSU's 2024 Tigers team that were drafted in this draft. So that's an impressive number. This was an offensive line that did a good job in pass protection, but as a collective group, they were not very good when it came to run blocking. But we'll see how these guys do in the NFL.
How does the line shape up for this coming season, knowing that 4 starters from the line last season are now gone for the Tigers?
Well, and you're looking at the one lone returning starter in DJ Chester could be moved to guard. So the offensive line will be the big question mark going into next season. I mean, it looks like obviously you got Garrett Dellinger, so you have one of the top quarterbacks in the country. You got terrific skill position players, Caden Durham coming back for his sophomore season. So everything looks good there, but the offensive line will be something we'll be watching, and LSU can establish a running game. You take Jaden Daniels out of the equation when he rushed for 1,000 yards. LSU has really struggled to run the football under Coach Brian Kelly.
All right, from one Jones to another, both in round 3, it turns out that, a former Saints coach does draft LSU players, just not when he was with the Saints, because the Broncos took Savion Jones in the 3rd round, defensive end out of LSU.
Yeah, very happy for Savion Jones. He was a big-time prospect coming out of St. James. It took him a while for him to really develop and become a solid player on the college level, and he was a good player on LSU's defense last season, helped turn that defense around a little bit last year, and really developed, I thought, this past season, putting himself in position to be a 3rd-round pick. Interesting that he goes a little bit higher than Braden Swinson, who went in the 5th round. I mean, when you even talk to Mike Dettillier, a lot of people thought Swinson was really rising going up the draft boards because he came out of nowhere and had a really big season last year for LSU. But I think what NFL teams are looking at, one, is Jones is a bigger player, and Jones is a player that can not only rush the passer, but he can defend the run a little bit better than Braden Swinson. So,
so LSU loses both their defensive ends to the draft this year.
They've added – that's one position that they've really added a lot in the transfer portal. And because of the guys that they've brought in through the transfer portal, the edge position for LSU next season could be one of their their strength on defense along with their linebacker.
Well, that's encouraging. If you lose both of your defensive ends to the NFL and that's your strength the following season, that's encouraging. I think the only player we didn't mention yet, Miles Frazier, the 4th offensive lineman taken in the – well, he was a 3rd because Dillinger went 4th. So Frazier goes to the Lions.
Yeah, and Miles Frazier, this kid, he was a transfer from FIU and very consistent player for LSU. I mean, he was just a steady player. And, in the 5th round as an offensive guard, a lot of times you see guys that, especially offensive guards in the NFL, they get drafted in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round. Those guys can have long careers in the NFL. They get kind of overlooked a little bit, and it's not a – It's not a sexy pick, you know, when you pick a guard in the first or second round. So
yeah, the Saints learned that. Fans didn't go nuts, but you win in the trenches. Yeah. Very quickly, so a great congratulations to all the Tigers going in the draft. Very quickly, what did we learn about LSU baseball in their three-game series, winning 2 out of 3 in Tennessee?
Well, Dave, I think this is the hardest the Southeastern Conference has ever been, the toughest it's ever been. So whenever you can win a series, I think that is something you should pat yourself on the back for. It wasn't easy. You know, they were scoreless through 8 innings in that game on Friday night. They went into Saturday morning, and then a miraculous 6-run inning that was helped by 2 errors by the Tennessee third baseman. Saturday was a tough night for LSU as they let that game get away. And then Sunday, the bats finally came alive. It's been, you know, they've been scoring maybe 3 or 4 runs, 5 runs. They haven't been as explosive as they were early on in the season, but they put up 12 runs. And again, LSU was not facing Tennessee's best pitchers, but this is still one of the top pitching staffs in the country. They're top 5 in the nation in ERA coming into this game. So to put up 12 runs against this team and to run rule them, that was a very, very impressive victory. LSU now 14-7 in the SEC, tied with Arkansas for second place in the league standings. And LSU really has put themselves in a good position here if they can finish strong to be a top 8 national seed, which means if you win your regional, you'll also be hosting the Super Regional Series.
And let's hope they're going to Omaha. Thank you, Jeff. Read much more from Jeff about football, baseball, and everything else at LSU at WWL.com.